Welcome again this morning, if you're just tuning in, and to our Live from the Landing broadcast. The idea of this is that, whilst we're connecting and not meeting face to face, although we're doing that a couple of weeks in the month, this is an opportunity to just, keep your thoughts going, keep your focus going, maybe encourage you. And we want to use it as an opportunity to do a little bit of teaching, which is something we can do in this slot, maybe easier than some of the face-to-face slots. And so we're going through training ourselves, teaching ourselves on something called cycling. And last week I introduced it and just talked a little bit about what it meant, and then today we're going to look at how Jesus cycled. We are followers of Jesus. We are looking to him to inform what we do and how we think and how we operate. And so our first focus should be always, how did Jesus do it? What did Jesus do? And so we're going to look a little bit at that today. It would be easy to kind of get overwhelmed and caught up by the current circumstances, but I believe that some of what we're talking about today and in this series will equip us to not be overwhelmed by the circumstances. For myself, Thursday and Friday, I was kind of, it was very difficult to just remain buoyant, remain hopeful and full of joy and full of, the carefreeness that God wants us to live. That lightness, was very difficult to attain. But what we're learning today and what we're doing today will start to help us to find that balance which God wants for us. So I'm just going to dive in and hopefully get through this, which is quite a lot in a reasonably quick amount of time. So, I believe to begin with, we need to just say Jesus was a human being. I know he was God, but my reading of the scripture is that he laid aside and he put aside the bit of him which is God, and he took on a full humanity. Otherwise, in some ways, what's the point? If Jesus was secretly sort of Superman and had these extra powers that none of us have, then how can we follow him? So I believe that he was a human being connected to God so that this life didn't control him. Let me say that again. Jesus was a human being connected to God so that this life didn't have control over him. And I'm going to repeat that phrase, a connected life, throughout today's teaching, because that's what we're after. We're after freedom through living a connected life. If your identity or your value is established by what others think of you, then effectively you're on a hamster wheel or a rat run of performance, and that's not freedom. And Jesus came so that we could be free. And so part of what we're learning today in this cycling is how to gain that freedom from living this connected life. We talked about, what are we talking about? We're talking about when life pins you down. And last week I spoke about Craig, my brother, kind of pinning you down and pinning your shoulders to the ground. When life pins you down and suddenly your emotions have control of you and you are not controlling yourself. There is a time when you can flip out of that. Occasionally I managed to get the upper hand, flipped out of that situation, pulled a reversal and flipped my brother over, and suddenly I was on top and I was in control. And that's what we're talking about. This is a mechanism, a method, a skill, a tool that will enable us when life starts to pin us down to flip the ultimate reversal and, with God's help, gain that control over our life. In Colossians 1 and verse 20, it says Jesus came to reconcile all things back to God. That was his purpose. And he's reconciling us back into living in partnership, living a connected life with God. It's interesting, you know, I've heard people say that, you know, God wants to be on the throne of your life. Well, actually, I've come to change my opinion on that. And I believe that God doesn't want to be on the throne of your life. He has his own throne, which he is on and he is well in control of. He wants you to be in control of your life. He wants you to be able to manage your life, to have fine balance in your life, to live with his help, with a connected life, lived in partnership with him, to have control of your own life and not be tossed about by life, by other people's opinions, by information, by circumstances. And that is a challenge, but it is possible because that's what Jesus did. And that's the life that Jesus lived. I mean, as a church, we have a strapline, a journey with friends to freedom. And as we grow and as we mature, we should be getting freer. And freedom is a divine partnership with the living God. It is living, knowing that we are designed to be interdependent with God and to be bringing his perspective into our life. And in so doing that, it will bring about a balance that means that we're no longer a victim of others' inputs into our life, or as I've said, circumstances' inputs. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, it says, "We demolish every argument and every pretension that basically sets up itself against what God says, and we take captive," this is the key thing, "we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ." So, you know, a thought comes in and very quickly, suddenly, we emotionally react to that input, and then instantly our life is being ruled and taken over by that emotional reaction to that thought. So you may have had an emotional reaction to the invasion of the Ukraine, and I can see particularly Ukrainians who are posting, there is a, you know, an understandable but incredible anger, in fear, just every emotion that you can think about is now coursing through them, and it's almost impossible to get any other perspective but that. And, you know, totally understandable, but ultimately their life is no longer in balance, and you could argue it's no longer their own because it's being controlled by those emotions which they can't control themselves. You know, there's an advert saying, you know, you're not yourself when you're hungry, you know, and you see these people trying to sell you Snicker bars. You're not yourself when you're emotionally out of control, when you're angry. And you might look at me and think I'm a mild-mannered janitor, you know, just very cool and calm and collected. My family will tell you that I'm not all the time. And certainly I can get frustrated. But if that frustration is, if I don't get control of that frustration, then that can flick into being angry. And when I'm angry, I am not a nice person to be around. I've lost control. I'm vicious. I am trying to get my own way. I'm shouting. I am doing all the things that angry people do. I'm scaring people. I'm not in balance. And after I get over it, or get control of myself, or whatever, calm down, I look back at that person and think, wow, I don't want to be that person. That isn't me. That isn't the me that God designed. That isn't the me that I want to be. and the consequences of it, you know, they're there. And you think, well, that isn't the person I want to be. And I almost can't imagine from this perspective how I could get to that. But that's what happens when our emotions suddenly take control of us and pin us down and suddenly we don't have we're not in control of our life or on the throne of our life or in balance. And that's what God wants to do with us today. So how did Jesus cycle? How did he do this? I'm going to look at two parts of scripture. One is at the beginning of Jesus's ministry, one is at the end of Jesus's ministry. And so you could argue that if the Bible records what he did to begin with, and he was still doing it at the end, then we can pretty much assume that he was doing it all throughout his ministry. And so this is a passage in Luke where Jesus has just been baptized. And if anything is about being living a connected life and being connected to the Trinity, then baptism is. But we can't get onto that today, so we might have to do that at another time. But Jesus has been baptized. Let me just say, you need to understand why Jesus got baptized. Some of the reasons we're often presented with for us to get baptized don't really apply to Jesus. And so it's worth looking at those things or questioning, but why did Jesus get baptized? I'll leave you with that question. So he's been baptized. And then the Bible says in Luke 4 that he is led into the desert and hasn't eaten for 40 days, and there is a statement that says, you know, he is hungry. You know, it's a little bit obvious, but I think what it points out is that, you know, there was a state of that the enemy thought that this was a good chance to tackle and to attack and to try and pin Jesus down and just try and get the upper hand. And he does this three times. So the first time the devil comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread. So basically feed yourself. You're hungry, Jesus. Come on. You know, not only is it reasonable, but you can prove who you are. And, you know, it speaks to that identity thing. Someone else saying, if you prove it, then you know, you can have that identity. If you are the Son of God, prove it. And Jesus says in response, it is written. This is his response to all of these things. It is written, man does not live by bread alone. And so he takes not what he thinks, which might be, you know what, I am really quite hungry and this looks like a good idea, but he says, okay, God, what do you think about this? And God, and he takes the scripture and says, no, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And so then the second time, we see it says the devil led him up to a high place and he showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and he said to him, you know, if you worship me, I can give you all of this. And it's an interesting one, that one, because we've already said that Jesus's goal in coming to the earth was to reconcile all things to God, and this seemed to be a shortcut. This was the devil saying, look, I can give it to you all now, I can get you what you want, what you need, and it's easy. Just shortcut the process, and you don't need to do anything else. You just need to worship me. And Jesus says again, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Most of the problems, or most of the things which we could categorize in our lives as sin, is really trying to get what we think we need or what we want without God's help. So we're going to do it ourselves. We're going to find a way of getting what we want without involving God, without living a connected life, because maybe we don't trust him, or we haven't got the patience, or we don't want to do it his way. So we try it our own way. And that often doesn't work out very well. So the third temptation of Jesus, the devil leads him to Jerusalem, and it says, throw yourself down from this high place. And then the enemy is switching it up a little bit, because now he's using scripture, and he says, for it is written, and he says, he will command his angels concerning you. And so you know, it's an interesting thing, because although you know, absolutely Jesus knew the Bible and was able to quote it and was able to use it, it's the Bible still needs to be used in context with a connected life, with knowing that it is the voice of the Father that you're listening to, because the devil knows the Bible as well, and he's still the devil. So it's not just a rote learning of scripture that will help you in these situations. It needs to be that that's part of the tool to be able to hear from heaven, and God can use that, but it's still his voice that we're trying to bring into these situations. There's a lot in that about so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. And again, Jesus says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And at the last verse, in verse 13, it says that when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until a more opportune time. When we're connected to God, when we're living a connected life, when we're referring to him, the enemy doesn't have the ability to attack us, and he moves away, because it's a waste of his time, because it's not an opportune time when we're connected to heaven. So the second part quickly is in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is when Jesus is in the last moments of his life, and it says that his soul was troubled to the point of death. You know, he was so stressed that he was sweating drops of blood. So, you know, Jesus has been through all the things that we as humans, we all go through. He didn't breeze through going to the cross. He had to struggle through making this decision, and this was where it happened, in the garden. And three times again he goes back to his disciples and says, help me, pray with me, I need you as friends, I need you to stand with me so that I can get myself into balance. And what was he trying to do? He was trying to hear from heaven what God was saying, and he was trying to get his emotions into agreement with that so that he could move forward. And I believe that when that came, when Jesus was able to say, take this cup from me, that was his what he wanted, but then say, no, God, not my will but your will be done, when he could find that place of agreeing with what God was saying about the situation, and genuinely, not just mentally saying, oh yes, I agree, but yes, emotionally, together with his intellect and his emotions, they were in agreement, and in agreement with God, it was done. Almost at that moment, you could say it was finished, because he made the decision to go to the cross in the garden. He made the decision, he settled it in his heart that he would do what God had asked him to do at that point. And from that moment onwards, he wasn't going backwards and forwards. The Bible talks about him setting his face like flint. He was focused, and he wasn't regurgitating the argument over and over again. He had settled it in the garden, in prayer, through this process of hearing what God is saying, getting his emotions into agreement, and then working out his actions. And so that's how Jesus cycled. A couple of examples. Next time we're going to talk about some more of the practicalities. But yeah, when you say, God, your will be done and not my will be done, you're living that connected life. So let me pray for you, and then I'm just going to put on a worship track, which really sort of sums this up. When we're overwhelmed, Lord, we want to see things like you see them. Ben's just going to lead us through that. So let me pray. Father, I thank you that you have given us, you haven't left us abandoned, you haven't left us helpless, but through Jesus you have enabled us to live a connected life, to live a life of freedom in a divine partnership with a living God. And Father, I thank you that is still exactly the same today as it was when Jesus was here, and that we can live being resourced with what you think about something and how you feel about it, and getting ourselves aligned with you, and so bringing balance into our own lives and enabling us to function. And Father, I thank you that you want to do this for each one of us. Thank you that we can learn these rhythms, we can learn these pathways, we can learn these things with you, partnered with you, yoked with you. And so today, Father, I just pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, and throughout this earth, people, you would be able to get through to people so that they would hear your voice and your perspective wherever they are, in Jesus' name. Amen.